of a book, probably written as a personal letter from Paul, and probably Paul never realized that it would become inspired scripture, but what he wrote was inspired by God to be preserved forever. It was a personal letter, and yet God allowed it to be a part of scripture, and it gives us some insight, some things we wouldn't see otherwise. Philemon, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, that we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This was written from Rome to Philemon. You might have that little fine print at the end of the chapter, the end of the book. Mine says, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. So Onesimus is mentioned in the book, and Onesimus is the one that was delivering the letter to Philemon. And what's interesting here is that Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus, and he really was. He was in Rome in chains. He was in prison. He was incarcerated, and he was a prisoner for Jesus. And Philemon, well, who was he? He lived in Colossae. And apparently he had gotten saved through Paul. Paul was his spiritual mentor, spiritual father. And Philemon had gotten saved, and Philemon means friendly one. He was a well-liked person. He was a homeowner. Verse 10, it says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. He was a homeowner. He was also a slave owner. And guess who he owned? Onesimus. Onesimus was a runaway slave. Onesimus used to belong to Philemon until he took off running. This might be hard to believe, but there was approximately 120 million people in that world at the time, in the Roman kingdom. And 60 million out of the 120 were slaves. Half of the population was slaves. They were the haves and the have-nots, and they were slaves for maybe debts or whatever it might be, and maybe they never could pay their debts, so then the children were born into debt and into slavery. Whatever the reason, however it came about, Onesimus was Philemon's slave. He was a homeowner because the Bible tells us that he also owned the house in which the church was in. Verse 2, to our beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. By the way, notice that the church was not the house. right? It's not the building. The church was in the house. And back then, a lot of houses probably were meeting places for churches. And it could happen again. And if it does happen again and we lose freedom and we don't have the ability to have a separate property in a building like we do now, at least we'll have the encouragement of knowing it's been done before, right? And so they met in the house. And it was Philemon's house, probably one of the nicer houses around, or maybe the nicest house among the congregation anyway. And he obviously was born again. He was a Christian. His wife, I think, was Apphia in verse 2. That's probably his wife. And Archippus was probably his son. And possibly Archippus was actually the pastor of the church. We don't know all this for sure, but that's what the assumption is. There's a lot of assumptions because of the brief letter and not much detail. When I was a teenager, I read a story called Onesimus, Runaway Slave, written by Patricia St. John. And some of you might have heard of that story, and I don't know if we have it in our library or not, but it's a fictional story based on a non-fictional character. It's kind of like Ben-Hur, you know. It's a fictional story based on a real event in the Bible. And you can take some liberties with the Bible that aren't wrong. You just have to be careful that you're not crossing over any biblical grounds when you do so. But Onesimus was definitely a runaway slave, and yet Paul's writing a letter back to Philemon, and he's writing the letter back to Philemon to beg for mercy for Onesimus, who's carrying the letter. This is a very interesting situation we have here. The runaway slave is coming home with a letter in his hand. So we see here in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Now Paul, I don't want to say that he's flattering or he's buttering him up, but he's saying you have love toward all the saints. And I got news for you. Somebody else is a saint, and his name is Onesimus. Now, I don't know what all Onesimus did, but there's enough inference, there's enough innuendo in the passage to give us the understanding that Onesimus owed Philemon something besides just running away. Might have stole some money or stole something very valuable. I don't know for sure, but we'll see that in a minute. And, you know, it's one thing for Christians to act like Christians in church with all of our fellow Christians. It's another thing when we get in the business world, isn't it? Sometimes we change our tune, don't we? And sometimes we lose our testimony out in the world. And I'm not accusing Philemon of any of this, but I'm sure in past time, Philemon and Onesimus' relationship was a little bit strained. If nothing else, it was master-slave. And the Bible talks about in Colossians, in fact, Colossians, which is where Colossae, where Philemon is living, it talks about servants, be obedient to your masters. And I was just reading in Titus yesterday and not talking back. Today we have employee-employer. But it's the same thing, being respect and being honest and in your dealing and whatnot. But here we see a situation here that's quite interesting. Now, in verse number 5, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication, the word communication means exactly what it says, but it also means, as we have the word communion or fellowship, the idea of sharing. That the sharing, the fellowshipping, the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That word effectual is the idea of energized or powerful. That your communication of your testimony, of your faith, will become powerful and energizing to others. For the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I think it was yesterday or the day before, I saw one of you post something on Facebook about how that you're just so thankful for how God has protected you in past times. Listen, that's communicating what God's done for you, isn't it? And you know what? You and I need to continue to communicate, and notice here, by the acknowledging of how many good things? Now, understand, Philemon's probably a wealthy guy. He's, or at least he's above average. He's not a slave. He's a slave owner. Philemon has been blessed. He has a wife. He has a son. He has a house. By the acknowledging of every good thing. Every good thing. Not I pulled myself up from my own bootstraps. I earned this diploma that I've got. No, no. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, in who? In Christ Jesus. It's all to the acknowledgement of him and what he has done, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That's the theme verse of this passage for me. Then I'll go back to it in a little bit. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Bowels is the idea of the heart, the soul. And the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And then he writes this, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee. I'm asking you a favor. Being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Your son? This runaway slave isn't your son. He is now. I don't know what all happened to Onesimus, and we're just going to use a little imagination. I don't know what happened to Onesimus. I don't know how he ended up in Rome. But Onesimus was a runaway slave. And he might have hopped a ship or stowed away on a ship somewhere. But somehow he went from Colossae all the way to Rome. And I don't know for sure if he knew Paul before, but I know that Paul knew his master. So it's possible, it's real possible, that Onesimus at one time was a slave in the house where this guy Paul was preaching or where this guy Paul was being talked about. And Philemon got saved, and Philemon, I'm sure, adored Paul and talked about Paul. And so it's possible that Onesimus had even heard of Paul before. I don't know. But what's interesting is that Onesimus was a runaway slave, and yet now he's free. And that's just the natural desire of human nature, to be free. But you know something? Sometimes people who are free physically are more trapped spiritually than people who are trapped physically and free spiritually. I've heard it said that, and there's no way to prove this, but I've heard it said that John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace, could very well have gotten that tune from the slaves on a ship. It is what they call the slave scale that it's written to. But sometimes, just think about that. What if there were some believing slaves, black slaves, on a ship, singing to praises to God in chains? We don't know that for sure. But what if that also weighed on the heart of John Newton, who was raised by a mother who knew better, who knew enough gospel to know the truth? And what if Onesimus finally got his freedom and he's now a runaway slave? Nobody knows he's a runaway slave. He looks like everybody else. And so he just makes his way to Rome and he sees this guy, this old looking guy. He's just kind of beat up and worn out. His name is Paul. And he's standing there and he's a slave. He's a prisoner. He's in chains. And he's standing there preaching and talking to people about the Lord. And the amazing thing to Onesimus is he looks happier than Onesimus is. That guy looks like he's content, like he's singing, "It is well with my soul," even though it might not be well with my body. Right? It's not always well with our body, but there's no excuse for it not to be well with our soul. And Paul is demonstrating more freedom than Onesimus has. And somehow, some way, Onesimus and Paul talk, and Onesimus becomes a Christian. The reason why I say all that is because that's the only reason why Paul would say, "my son," just like he called Timothy my son. My son, Onesimus. My son. I want to talk to you about my son, Onesimus, who I have begotten while in my bonds, see? Who got saved, who I gave birth to, so to speak, while in bonds here, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Oh, by the way, you know what Onesimus' name means? His name means profitable. So he's playing on words here. Paul says, in time past, profitable was not very profitable. It's kind of like the insurance company that we're fighting right now. They're not very progressive. I won't tell you the name of their name, but anyway, they're not very progressive. Anyway, and Onesimus means profitable. And so he says in verse 11, which in time past was to the unprofitable. He was not a very good slave. He was not a very good servant. But now he's profitable to thee and to me. And He used to be in bonds, but now he's free. John 8:36, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Not necessarily physical liberty. And yes, we have enjoyed physical liberty in this country for a long time, so long we don't even understand it. But there's something more special than physical liberty, and that's spiritual liberty. And there are plenty of people who are a slave to their appetite. They're a slave to an alcohol or a drug. They're a slave to the economy or money. Right? I mean, there's just a lot of people who are slaves in a free country. And yet this man, Paul, was free even in his chains while he was in Rome. And so here we see Paul beseeching and talking to his master, his Christian master. And so verse 12, Paul says, whom I have sent again. He's profitable, but I'm sending him back. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, as if he was my own son, whom I would have retained with me. I would have retained him. I would have kept him, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. I was tempted to keep him so that he could do for me what you can't do for me. Now understand, they can't pick up a phone. They can't email. This all has to be hand-delivered. But without thy mind, without your permission, I would not do. I do nothing. That thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. I would love for you to give me Onesimus back. I'd love to use him for my own personal helper, but not without your willingness. Verse 15, Paul says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Paul says, it could be that God allowed him to run away from you for a season so that you could have him for forever. Hey, you know, some of us, we have, can I say, runaway loved ones. But maybe it's just for a season so that one day it'll be forever. How about that? Right? That's a good trade, isn't it? I mean, I can put up with losing someone for a season if I know I'm going to give them forever. Paul said, perhaps that's why this happened. Perhaps this whole situation happened so that Onesimus could get saved. And now he's coming back home. Verse 16, not now as a servant. I don't want you to receive him as a servant, but above a servant, as a brother, beloved, as one of your brothers, as one of the other saints, as one of the church members, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's your brother in the flesh and in the Lord. To recognize him as a fellow man, human being, and in the Lord. The Bible doesn't spell out, you know, abolishing slavery. But when you get close to the Lord, it just kind of happens. In verse number 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If you consider me a partner, I want you to receive him as if you're receiving me. And I want you to receive him like a brother, and I want you to do it forever. And verse 18, if he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I'm saying this with my own pen. I will repay it. What does that remind you of? If he's wronged you in any way, you put that on my account. You remember the two columns that I always show? Paul said, Onesimus, just give him my account and I'll take his. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? See, Jesus did it for Paul, so Paul was going to do it for Onesimus. Jesus did it for you, and so you and I need to do it for somebody else. We need to say, you know, just whatever it was, just let me pay it. Let me take care of it. Whatever he owes, put it on my account, just like Christ. As a matter of fact, with your finger in Philemon, we go to Romans 4, and we go to 2 Corinthians 5. Romans 4, verse 4, Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or tally or reckon sin. Blessed is the man who has a clean record because someone else took it. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21. I think I can quote this one from memory, but I'll read it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that's God, made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Paul says, if he's wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. If there's something he owes you, you just let me, just add it to my bill. I'm writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. And you and I think we're going to come across the time in our life a lot, or tomorrow, or we already have, where God's saying to you and I, whatever they owe you, just put it on my account. Just let it go. Just trade places with them and allow it to be forgiven. And then Paul says at the end of verse 19, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Paul says, but you owe me a lot too, you know. And isn't that really what Christianity is? It's about somebody paying the debt and then us paying it forward and helping someone else see the light. Yea, brother, verse 20, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. I want to be joyful. I want to hear a good report from you. In verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou would also do more than I say. I know you're going to even do better than what I am asking you to do. I would hope that God would say that about us, that we would do above average, not just what we're being asked to do, but even more. But I want to go back to verse 6, that the communication of thy faith, the communication, the word, the message of your faith may become effectual, energized, powerful, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, that others would hear and see your faith communicated, and that it would be so effective by the acknowledging of every good thing. I don't know. I'm just going to use some imagination here, but I can just see Onesimus. He's going home. By the way, that's quite a testimony for Onesimus. Walking home with a piece of paper. Going back to the guy that used to yell at him or whatever, or told him what to do. Going back to sign up to be a slave again, with no guarantee that he's going to be anything but a slave. And going back with a piece of paper, walking back to Philemon. And can you imagine some of Onesimus's older friends, you know, old friends, hey, what are you doing? What's happened to you? Well, I got free, so I'm coming back. I finally found real freedom. You got to be kidding. You're going to go back? Yeah, I'm going back. And you can, so you see the testimony going on. And then what's Philemon going to do? And all these people watching Philemon. And Paul's saying, Philemon, you got a great opportunity here. Because the communication of your faith is going to be real effectual in how you handle this. Because what's normal human nature? Non-forgiving. You know, Joseph and his brothers in Egypt. All right. I was telling the teenagers on Sunday night. The Bible says nothing about Joseph going after Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar. Nothing. or the 10 brothers. In fact, he told the 10 brothers, I'll take care of you and your children. And I promise you, whatever good testimony Philemon and his house had, when Onesimus came home and was treated as a brother, it blew the minds of everybody around there. When God allows weird, bizarre, frustrating, unfair things to happen, I think it's a perfect opportunity for our testimony to be effectual. Right? I mean, there's people that I know that I'm right. At the same time, I have to show them that they're forgiven and that I can love them and be kind and considerate. I've heard some amazing stories, and some of them are fictional, but a lot of them are true, where some amazing stories of forgiveness and people just recognizing that the bigger picture is, hey, we're all just one family. And up in heaven, there's a Philemon and an Onesimus, and neither one has any higher rank than the other. Isn't that awesome? They're probably next door to each other. Probably as Philemon walks out of his mansion, and I can just see Onesimus saying, oh, here, let me help you with that. Oh, no, no, allow me. No, no, allow me. They might get a fight over who's going to serve who. You know? That's what heaven is. And I just want to say this tonight. Keep communicating your faith. Not just blah, 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 but with your actions, with your testimony, that it will be effective, that you'll acknowledge every good thing about you in Christ Jesus, that God will see and others will see that you are acknowledging him and giving him the praise for every good thing. Philemon says to Onesimus, hey, it's only by the grace of God that I'm the master and you were the slave. It's only by the grace of God that I own the house. But you know what? It's all, who cares? Onesimus, I don't care what the debt was. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Matthew 18. I need someone to wash my sin away. Onesimus, it's all forgiven. It's all paid for. Not by Paul, but by Jesus. I think the last time I heard that verse preached on, it was when Tim Whatley was here. Verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. I want my communication to be effectual. I want my testimony to be effective. And that we would learn to acknowledge every good thing, not in my brains, not in my skills, not in my abilities, but in Christ Jesus. That's how it got done. So let's close in prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for this short letter that you've given for some eye-opening reasons. Help us to learn from you, trust you, be different because of you. Help me as a leader and as a father, as a husband, help each one of us to demonstrate with effectiveness the communication of our faith, and that it would be all pointing to you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.